I love it. I love it, Stella. I was just talking to Sally Sefton, who's here in the studio. Sally is such an amazing director and producer and works so hard with thousands. I mean, really, probably hundreds of shows at least through all the different theater productions,
probably.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I would say.
And we were just mentioning how important this particular show is and how you think this is one of the most challenging and exciting roles that anyone could play, right?
Yes, the role of Blanche.
Yes.
Actually, all the roles in that play are challenging, and partially because it has been done so much. There are so many Blanches out there, and Stanleys, and Stellas.
You were telling me about a thing in New Orleans.
Yeah, there's competition in the, there's like a streetcar named Desire sort of festival. It's a Williams festival / streetcar, and these men line up for blocks to stand at the foot of a bunch of stairs and scream Stella, and who I don't know how they determine the winner, but somebody goes home as the winner of the Stella Stanley contest. So you're walking into a situation where people know the play, they know the lines that are sort of become cliches, and so you have to try to find a way to make it all fresh and new and sort of the discovery of what you think the playwright was trying to tell us in this story.
Well, I was talking to David Johnston just a few weeks back, and he was saying, I said, do you really just enjoy the most challenging things you can do? I mean, you pick down the most difficult things to do, and I would have to ask you the same question. This is not an easy show.
It's not an easy show in an age where people are addicted to lots of action. And this play is all about characters and their stories and what and how they're trying to survive in a time that's pretty desperately difficult. So it is a challenge because there's a lot to say. There's a lot of words. There's poetry. And it's all so tenderly, beautifully written. But people come in expecting things to happen in a more sort of action-based way. And so you just have to let the story unfold when you come to see it. And I hope that people will sort of give it a shot for that reason, so that they can get to know these people and what they're here for.
Well, we were talking about how it came to be birthed. And any production has an interesting story, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because it's a lot of work.
Yes.
And I guess this goes back a little ways when Paul James Brown and you had a luncheon or a breakfast?
We had a breakfast upcountry, and he was congratulating me on a play I just directed. And he said, so what's a play you'd really love to do? And I said, Tennessee Williams is sort of my spirit animal, and I've always wanted to direct Streetcar Named Desire. And he just said, I'm going to make this happen for you. And I just have to salute him because he has been really working to make this happen, I would say, for at least 2 years.
Wow.
And so I'm really touched at his belief in the play and in us. And so I'm very grateful for that.
And then he reached out also to you, Tom, and also had a meal with you or two and said, we've got to make this happen, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Paul has really been passionate about this play and about producing this play, and particularly having the first professional production on Maui. I mean, the play came out in 1947. We are a little bit behind the curve. But nonetheless, it's going to be just an incredible evening of theater, and I hope everyone gets a chance to go.
And well, one of the beautiful things, of course, is at the Pro Arts, which is so intimate and personal. Have you done a show there before,
yeah,
Sally?
I've done two shows. I did The Elephant Man there and The Nerd.
Oh,
comedy and deep, dark.
So you know what you're dealing with there.
There's challenges to it, but it's also the place where when you go, the characters are almost sitting in your lap, right? You're so close.
They definitely are.
So you can really, I think you can get engaged in a way that you can't in a theater where there's a great deal of distance between you and the performers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have with us Denise, who has worked in New York and Los Angeles and Maui stage and film and television. And this role, Denise, is really, we were talking to it a little bit about it before we went on the air here. And, I mean, of course, I said this is such an amazingly challenging role. And you brought us some interesting perspectives that, you know, you're saying you're going right to the source without any, influences of outside. You're going right to what Tennessee Williams wrote.
Right. So what I would say for audiences is to not watch any movie, to come to the theater without any preconceived ideas, because what we've already seen is other directors and actors' interpretation of Tennessee Williams' writing. So when you take it fresh, and I haven't seen the movies, and you take it fresh and you just look at the dialogue and you allow that authenticity of that dialogue to sink into your heart and to your soul. I mean, the first time I read the script, I couldn't get through it.
Really?
It was so, that's what Sally said too.
Wow.
It was so incredibly emotional.
Uh-huh.
It resonated, and I think it resonated to such depths because, as Mr. Rodriguez said, it was in 1947. However, the times, if you hear me start to talk in a southern accent, Blanche is coming out, or Tennessee Williams is being channeled through me. The times in 1947 and the times, oh, see, I'm getting chicken skin now, are not that different. It's all about humanity, and it's all about what's going on in the lives of people. And right now, we are a society that's extraordinarily raw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sensitive. And we need some magic. And Tennessee Williams lived in that world. And this, his script speaks in that way to those times, which are the same times we're living in today, as far as our humanity, and as far as our struggles, and as far as our confusions, and as far as our need for survival. So Blanche, I hope that I have found and am continuing to find, because like all people, we're ever evolving. This beautiful creature of survival, and find the nuances and the reasons why she is who she is and why she does the things she does, which everyone, like I said before, can relate to, because the biggest realization I've had doing this character is the realization that we all operate within a system of enormous hypocrisy. We cast judgment, and yet in most situations that I find her in, we all find ourselves in some way.
Mm.
We all prostitute ourselves in some way or do certain things in some way. Not that she's a prostitute, I don't want to give anything away. But we do these things on certain levels and perceive them according to our point of view.
And at the same time, you see, and I think so intensely emotionally, how the walls are torn down. How,
yes.
How even if you try to keep anything, and I think this is really true of our time as well, even if you try to keep any secrets or if you try to keep anything from coming out, it will come out, and here you are seeing it, and it's kind of hard to even feel all mm-hmm. those feelings. How do you... I mean, Tom wanted to say something. He's almost jumping out of his seat.
I just want to say, listening to Denise, I know I'm listening to an artist, mm-hmm. A person who really goes into the material and then emerges fresh,
mm-hmm.
almost like going into a pool of water
right.
and coming out. So I'm really, really impressed. And I want to just make sure that I tell people who are listening, if you want to see this woman act,
mm-hmm.
A Streetcar Named Desire runs March 25th through April 10th, Thursdays through Saturdays, 7:30 p.m., and Sundays at 2 p.m. at Pro Arts Playhouse, located in Azeka Plaza in Kihei. And tickets are $25, $35 and available on www.proartsmaui.com. That's proartsmaui.com. Or you can pick up the phone, or as used to like to say back in the 1940s, you can pick up the Amici. And you can call 808-463-6550. That's 463-6550. And by the way, on the April 2nd show, the proceeds from a portion of the ticket sales will benefit the Cameron Center, Maui's Place of Hope since 1973, and it houses 17 resident health, social service, and cultural organizations with 100-plus programs serving 30,000 low-income people in the pre-pandemic period. Mm. So go on down to A Streetcar Named Desire at theproartsmaui.com and buy yourself some tickets. Call 463-6550, 463-6550.
Thank you for that. Yes, I was actually going to just do that because, yeah, I was hearing it in my mind as well. So when you deal with something so emotional like this, you are doing your rehearsals where? Because you have to have the interaction and the emotions play off each other. You can't do that in the pro arts yet. So where are you doing rehearsals?
We've been doing it. MAPA has been very generous, and they've given us a beautiful rehearsal room that's all taped off to the dimensions of the pro arts stage.
Perfect.
So that's been a great gift. And sometimes, actually, we will be returning to do a few rehearsals when pro arts is booked. So it's going to work out just fine. Going back and forth.
Who is playing Stanley?
Stanley is Jefferson Davis. And I directed him years ago in Glass Menagerie on Maui, and he played Tom. And I just thought he was stunning. Mm-hmm. And so he tried out again with a lot of other, some really talented men came out for that role. We had a lot of really talented actors.
I almost could have seen the road. And men lined up down the street.
Yeah. You could just have to say the word Stella.
Stella, yeah, that's all you got to do. And you could have picked your person there, right, with just Stella.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic cast. Yeah. Is it? I would have to say that, you know, I haven't worked in many years in much because I've been a mother and you can't do both without doing one pretty poorly. But I've done a lot of theater, and this is one of the best casts I've worked with. They're so authentic, and they're so supportive.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They're just really beautiful people and really incredible actors.
Mm-hmm. How far can you push the buttons between each person? I mean, there's a lot of psychology in this particular play, isn't there?
Right.
I mean, how far do you go to try to push that other person to the limits of what they are? Because in a lot of ways, these roles are pushing people's limits, isn't it?
It's
written
beautiful.
That way?
Right. So you're asking about as a director, how far?
Yeah, director and an actor, yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, these people are so gifted, and Denise, amazing, amazing actress. I don't push them. I feel like I help them discover things.
Yes.
And like Stella said to me the other day,
you called her Stella.
No, but I was thinking when I said to Stella, the actress, Leanna, as she said, well, when in this moment do I have to sob? It says sobbing. And I said, no, you don't have to sob.
Right.
We'll find your response to it. Mm-hmm. It should be one of great sadness, but I'm not asking you to spring tears. I just want your authentic response to this moment, which is a really devastating moment.
Right.
So then I give her the empowerment to discover it. And because I think that's how I direct, I don't try to push things on them in terms of their responses. They're all so intelligent and so intuitive, not just intelligent, but intuitive, that they always hit the mark with where I think it should be. But if I push them, then they become my puppets. And so we're really collaborative. That's how I feel as a director that I work, is in concert with the actors. And so we work together. So, yeah, I mean, of course, I'm going to ask for them to get to a place of there's some greatly emotional, almost terrifying moments, and we work on it together. But we're a team. We're a team bringing that to the audience instead of me dictating it. Is that clear?
I get it 100%. But I, as you were talking, Sally, I really did also realize how the characters evolve, and in any great play, you have to have the characters evolve. And in this case, I mean, they almost dissolve. They evolve so much that there's so much going on. So you also probably have to really do a lot of evolving and dissolution at the same time in your character playing Blanche, don't you? I mean, you have to change the way you're approaching your own role as you evolve within that role.
Well, I look at approaching the role in the same way I approach life. So we're constantly evolving on a daily basis according to our circumstances. So the gift here, again, is Tennessee Williams' writing. So it is so solid and masterfully written that it's like riding a roller coaster. You just have to hand yourself over to him and trust. Hand yourself over to those words and let them be absorbed deeply and let go, which can be scary as an actor. Let go and let those words go and those emotions and
you're channeling the role.
Yes. if you've led a full life and I've led a full life, it's all there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just have to trust. And if the script is a well-written script,
yeah,
it makes it that much more easier. So for me, yes, there have been excruciating, scary moments for me where I've said, wait, why am I doing this? Oh, yeah, I love this. Seek the joy. And then when I let go, I push through that and find exactly those places and where I'm supposed to be. It's all there. Mm-hmm. So basically that's it. And again, you know, preconceived ideas is the worst thing that will stop from creating.
We were just talking before we went on the air about the date, March 25th. It's kind of interesting because
magic will happen on that day.
Well, magic will happen, and also the mask mandate's going to be dropped.
That's the magic.
And that was just announced, and they must have known what was happening.
I said that to Sally when we started. She was very frightened and about the mask mandate because we do, it's a small theater, and we use a lot of the space outside the stage, a bit of space. And I said, you know what? Everything's lined up for this production. It's not going to stop. Somehow those masks are going to be ripped off our faces by then.
So again, people, you need to get your tickets in advance. This is really a special event, and you can go to proartsmaui.com, of course. And you can also call 808-463-6550 at Pro Arts. This is going to be a very intense.
Yes.
Wouldn't you safely say this is an extremely
intense? Yeah, there's
intense
some humor in it, though. Yeah, there's quite a few laughs.
Blanche has a very good sense of humor. She does.
Yes, she
just
does.
Just like Tennessee Williams did. Yes, Blanche has a very good sense of humor, and there is lightness. It's life, and it's life. It's our humanity. So there's humor, and there's joy, and there's happiness, and there's tracks. Yeah, there's sex. There's vulgarness, and there's.
Yeah, and I do want to say it's going through April 10th. Now, is that Friday, Saturday, and Sundays?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yeah. And Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There's a 2 p.m. show on Sunday.
I love
Sundays.
For those
of you who don't want to walk the streets of North Kihei.
At night.
Many people like those Sunday shows. I was talking about how popular the Sunday shows. Kathy Collins was saying how at the Ahi Wrap, the Sunday shows were the biggest shows.
Yeah.
And go and have dinner afterwards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a great date
night. Absolutely.
Yeah. I did want to just say one thing, if I could add in there.
Yes.
You did say that they can get tickets at proartsmaui.com, and the phone number is 463-6550. Call now, because this show is selling out.
We've already got
almost 40% of the tickets sold. Mm. And the proceeds from the April 2nd show will benefit the Cameron Center, which is a house of 17 resident health, social service, and cultural organizations with 100-plus programs serving 30,000 low-income community members in the pre-pandemic. So that April 2nd show is a fundraiser for the Cameron Center. But the entire run, I plan to go several times.
Good.
Because I've been banned from the rehearsals.
Yes.
I wonder why.
Yes.
It wasn't me. We had another producer.
We like closed rehearsals.
But I'm just saying, closed rehearsals.
We like them closed.
So I am looking forward to, like, bam. I want to see it fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. Fresh eyes. I want to see it in fresh eyes.
Speaking of which, are you going to have cameras recording? I know this has been kind of a thing where I think we changed so much during COVID that people got used to seeing things internationally through video. I know in the case of Ahi Wrap, you said next week Ahi Wrap is going to
drop the video on demand for Ahi Wrap.
Yeah.
I pretty sure we're not going to videotape this.
It's a pretty close thing to try to get.
Yes, I think especially we're coming into the dropping, you know, the mask mandate. And, you know, Lynn has it very carefully spaced in there for ultimate, you know, safety. So I don't think there's going to be a video of it.
So, folks, you can't catch it in reruns. You have to see it.
You
know,
if I might, one of the relationships that really fascinated me was between Mitch and Blanche.
Oh.
And when you asked me if I was going to try out for the play, that's the role I liked.
Oh.
I liked Mitch.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mitch is awesome.
And that is a whole different relationship between Blanche and her sister, between Blanche
and brother-in-law.
Mitch just kind of stands out there in kind of an odd way, and I really am fascinated by how that's handled on stage.
Yeah.
Mitch is, you want to just give a little background about Mitch and where that falls into place so other people don't know who Mitch is.
Is her brother-in-law's good friend. He's a poker-playing buddy. And so Mitch has been around them quite a bit, and he's the only poker player that's single. So he, you know, he lives with his mother, and you get the sense that he's just a lonely guy. And he wanders, you know, he sees Blanche sort of hiding out. The women were not invited to the poker game, and he walks through to go to the restroom, and he meets Blanche. And that just, everything stops for him. That was a major moment in his life, meeting her. And, you know, he says to her at one point, "I've never met anybody in my life like you." He's just so tenderly in love with her. Mm. And and the man who's playing it, Scott McClellan, is doing just a masterful job.
Yes.
Mm. He even ordered the kind of breath mitts that people in the 40s use.
Yes.
No. He ordered that so that he would have the perfect thing to drop in his mouth before he speaks to Blanche.
That's absolutely amazing.
I know. This is, by the way, the 75th anniversary of the opening of Streetcar on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Pulitzer Prize winner, Tony Award winner. It won all kinds of awards.
It kind of changed the way theater was done in many ways, right?
This is
kind of before the Neil Simon era, wasn't it, where the people did more. It was not in the time big musicals and things were light and airy and just go dance and jump and have fun. So this was pretty intense for that.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And it pushed the envelope as far as sexuality and certain aspects that come through in this. We haven't cut anything. So in the movie, they actually cut some of the scenes that we're keeping in this.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In this play. Yeah,
they always do.
That were too controversial. Mm-hmm. So we won't say any more. You have to come see them.
No, but it's okay to have teasers. It's okay to have but I should mention, are you doing, I know it's been pretty good about following on Facebook, are you doing any clips or visuals or anything on Facebook that people can check this out with?
Just there is a Streetcar Named Desire event page. We're going to put photos up, and I always when I do a play, I always put little quotes from the play, from the playwright. And then once we open, we'll be putting like audience members' reviews, what people write about it.
Are you going to allow Paul James Brown to do a review? Because he loves doing reviews, but my gosh, I got to wonder,
what's that called?
We need some other reviewers.
Paul will say that there are ethical considerations.
Yes. No, Paul, he's gotten Michael Pulliam to do the review.
Okay. Because he's known for his reviews, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants Paul to do a review, right?
Right.
This is going over a few weeks, right? So are you, I mean, here's this thing where you're practicing, you don't have an audience where you're rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
With an audience in this intensely personal drama, how does that change the chemistry of your role?
It heightens it, crystallizes it. It's the most welcoming aspect to be able to share the work with an audience, and it gives the work life, more life. Yeah, it gives the work more life. So the more people in those seats, the better for the performance. Actually, you know, it can be, you know, of course, scary, but that energy is channeled into the performance, and so it's a beautiful thing to have people And we have such welcoming audiences here
in
Maui. The most
welcoming.
For
good reason.
Ever.
We have such an amazing theater group here of people like Sally and
Sally's amazing.
David Johnston
I worked
and you
with
and
her
Tom and all these people.
I worked with her the first time 25 years ago in 2023. One performance, I was pregnant with Sean.
Oh my goodness.
He's 21 now.
Well, I again encourage people to call 808-463-6550 for tickets. Go to proartsmaui.com. It's coming up March 25th, and it runs through April 10th, and it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday with a Sunday matinee, and it's going to be a huge experience, and it's so great to have it happen. I mean, I'm just so thrilled, truly, truly thrilled.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here that you...
Thank
on your show.
For allowing
thank you
us
so
to speak
much.
With you about it.
I'm so grateful. So thank you.
This is one of the shows you want to do. It's kind of like, in late night, you're going to do this show. You got a new book out, you come to this show. You got a play, you come here.
It's the best.
By the way, I did want to just sort of quickly add, April 2nd, don't forget, proceeds benefit the Cameron Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 17 agencies serving the low-income community here on Maui. So if you only pick one day, come April 2nd.
All right. Well, thank you. I